Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. I am sitting in the idyllic setting of Deering Harbor, Shelter Island, New York. Gorgeous, serene setting. I found myself sort of a wind trap next to a real estate office. Don't know if I'm supposed to be sitting here normally with a low March sun in the sky, approximately 4:30 p.m. Reasonably. Certainly one of the warmer days I've experienced here in New York for a long time. I'll tell you exactly what it is, since we're being so 55 degrees Fahrenheit and 13 degrees Celsius. So I'm pretty comfortable. It's getting close to spring. I know in Ireland they say the beginning of spring is February 1st, which I've always disputed that. But in New York, we say March 21st, and it's getting pretty close. It's getting even closer to the 19th of March, my second dose of the vaccine. So I'm even doubly excited for that. And most importantly, I'm excited because I'm an engaged man. And we didn't really talk about it last week because I had Ashley on, and thank you so much for the feedback. Very well listened to episode. But I didn't touch on it. Mainly because Hannah has had a couple of like embargoes. You know, she does Bravo's chat room. So you got to save that tea for your own show. So I didn't want to step on Hannah's toes. I didn't want to give away any secrets early. You know, keep it all nice and fresh and juicy for Bravo's chat room. And so that's done. And our episode's been up. And Hannah and I have done insane amounts of press, which is, you know, unnerving for me, to be honest with you. So let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the most important thing that the pandemic has brought me, this new life. And, you know, coincidentally enough, as I settle into the changes that the pandemic has brought to my life, literally just over the horizon, just around the corner, is a ray of light. April 2nd in New York, comedy clubs open at 33%. A sense of getting back on stage and working, and almost not in a novelty way, in a normal way, going to the Comedy Cellar, doing a set, not a gig outside, you know, 33% fine. I've done plenty of gigs at less than 33%. Not during a pandemic. I'm comfortable with that. Let's just get back on stage and do some shows. I am also aware that there isn't a real sense of hope in Ireland just yet. So I want to respect that the majority of these listeners here are in Ireland, where it's much more frustrating. And I appreciate the efforts that you're making. I know that you probably have your criticisms of the government and why the vaccine rollout is slow. And I feel your pain. You know, I feel blessed to have gotten vaccinated early, but I also feel blessed that it feels like a bit more momentum towards getting back on track here than there is in Ireland. And I only wish that things would speed up. I see Johnson & Johnson has been approved there, so that's exciting. We want it. We want Ireland back to normal. I want to get back to Ireland in September and get going full belt on some shows. I want it. I want Ireland back to normal. I want normal life. So don't think I'm trying to rub it in, guys, by talking about that my horizon looks a little closer than yours, because I'm not. I just want everything to go as fast as possible. But needless to say, I'm locking in these pandemic changes. So this episode is all about the engagement. I'm having Hannah on. Just a word about the ambiance of this chat. We were driving here, actually, to Shelter Island, where Hannah records Bravo's chat room. So there's a lot of car noise, but, you know, it's consistent. And for a while, we're on the highway, so you can kind of hear like that. There's like a, you know, a bit of a highway sound. But, you know, I think it's gentle. I will try to reduce the background noise, but I do like a bit of ambiance. I'm certainly sitting in a wonderful ambiance right now as the setting sun peeks out from behind this building that's blocking the wind for me. I now have more sun on my face. And I mean, really, it's a happy time. Myself and Hannah, we talk a bit about our relationship. We talk about engagements. We talk about wedding invitations. I would have liked to talk a bit more about all that stuff, but we ended up just talking about relationships, and it's very casual. It's very lighthearted, but it's just both of us exploring the realms of this new phase of our relationship, looking for the humor in it. And we got a lot of new subscribers, so suddenly I got like anxiety. I have anxiety because now you got reality TV people, fans, listening to my podcast, looking for tea. I didn't even know what tea was before I met Hannah. I mean, I knew what tea was. I'm a Barry's man. But I didn't know that tea was gossip. And now I'm the fucking tea spiller. The goddamn tea brewer here, man. Like a goddamn pot spilling over. I wasn't looking for that role. But now I have it. So I have to balance out the fact that I want this episode to just be a fun episode about getting engaged. But I know that the tea purchasers, the connoisseurs of the tea are on the hunt. You know, they're in the tea aisle. They're in the tea shop, hoping to find a new flavor, some sweet Assam, some juicy rooibos to stick in a cup, sip. So, to the tea sippers, welcome. But we're not going for too much of that. For the Irish that don't know, I am actually going to be in Summerhouse, which I haven't really said publicly, but you probably read between the lines over the last 6 or 7 months of what's been going on in this podcast and thought this guy probably went in there. But now it's been in their trailer, so I can say it. So maybe in a couple of weeks, I'll drop a bit of tea on that. Anyway, we got the episode coming up, and I'll talk to you guys at the end. It's me and Hannah talking about our engagement and joking around about planning for a wedding. Talk to you after the ep. All right. So, Hannah, welcome to our engagement special.
I feel like we're like Harry and Meghan, except...
Except our family isn't out to destroy us.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to talk about that.
I know. That's why the second I said it, I was like, oh, I thought we weren't going to get into all that, but I apologize. Yeah, if I think don't say something, I bring it up. So.
Yeah, but no, that's fine.
Because we start, we'll be talking about them the whole time. And then
maybe at the end. Maybe we'll revisit that at the end. And hey, listen. You know, it was no Harry and Meghan in terms of the press around our engagement, but it wasn't nothing either, babe.
Wasn't nothing.
I know. I didn't realize you were such a hot couple.
And then I just dropped a photo of us at the ring and people lost their damn minds because they were like, how is that girl with nubby fingers getting proposed to?
Well, I'm just glad you have those small fingers to make that diamond look huge. Thank God for your stubby fingers. Aiden has a joke about that, you know, that like. He doesn't like girls with big hands because when they're giving him a hand job, his dicks look really small. It's like, I don't know, bro. She has big hands.
But she'll get great coverage.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to take the...
She'd be great on a football team with you.
Yeah, you know, she'd be like better at basketball. But anyway, we've had a very public... we've now had a very public engagement.
Did you envision yourself... when you're getting engaged for it to be so public, or did you want to keep it on the down low and, you know, elope?
You mean like, well, I always get, this is always, can I just air something out here at the beginning of this?
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, I don't mean this.
Do you have to start a fight right now? We just started.
No, but it's just that, like, this is always on the back of my mind. And I'm like, when we're doing other interviews and stuff, I don't bring it up. But, like, this is us, and we're a couple, and we're honest with each other.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, it's the second time that I've done this. And the first time I was very not public.
Oh, I forgot. I thought we weren't going to talk about your past. I thought it was like walking into a clean house with dirty shoes. I thought that was the one rule.
Well, in our relationship, it is the rule. But now that we're doing an engagement special, and you're asking me, it's just hard for me to censor that. But I would gladly. I don't want to talk about it in any detail. But what I'm saying is that I've done it both ways, and. This is way more exciting.
But also high anxiety. But we thrive in anxiety. We bond. Anxiety has fueled our love.
But again, this is not a complete. Actually, let's not focus on that straight away, because I was gonna talk a little bit about like the pros and cons of a public engagement. But let's step back from that first, because I don't want people to think that that's what we're focusing on our engagement. But let's just say that it wasn't properly fun, even though there was a sense of us trying to keep it to ourselves and have the moment for ourselves. It was actually way more fun when we put it on social media.
Yeah, because I'm terrible at keeping secrets, and I feel like I'm lying to everyone by just not talking about it. So after I got engaged, we told our very, very, very close family. And then I was just like texting all my friends like nothing was happening, but I just felt like a sketchball, and I was very unsettled. And you just want people around you to like be happy for you, which is weird because you should just not need that outside, you know, affirmation. However, I need it.
No, but it's fun. I mean, like, listen, we were confident, you know, we knew how we felt about each other. We had had discussions, and then we were engaged. And so we were comfortable with our decision. But part of the fun of getting engaged is like sharing it with everybody. And, you know, like, it's a huge thing.
I never thought about getting engaged very often. I've never been with a guy before that I even thought about marriage. So it all kind of happened too quick for me even to like prepare for it. But there is this beautifulness of people aren't even happy for you that like I specifically like found you, or it's more like that we've come to this part of our lives where we're both at least like love ourselves enough to love someone else. That's what I kind of felt by it. Like, it's just a good moment in your life where you're like, I'm ready to grow up a little bit.
This is great that you're practicing for your Oprah interview with that fucking self-help nonsense right there.
Okay, Oprah soul whatever, soul search, what is it called?
I don't know.
Whatever, it's great, and you guys should try it out.
No, I mean, it was a beautiful thing, but you don't talk that way in real life.
Welcome to the Inspirational Pod with Hannah and Dez. We believe in love. Love is real. No, I hate being corny with that stuff, but occasionally it's nice to sit back and stop bashing each other and be proud of ourselves that we were vulnerable and open to love.
Yeah, and we did it. So let's step back even further and just say,
we keep going back. We're about to fall off some cliff.
Because I don't want to just talk about the after. When we started joking about this, you know, when it became like a real discussion that sort of jumped off of some jokes and you sending me rings, like all the stuff that you've been joking about on other podcasts, at what point in your mind did you go, I know we're kidding around, but like, I know that this is real?
Well, it's funny because you actually were more public about it than me in the very beginning.
You mean public about I'm going to marry this girl?
Well, you were... My mom would listen to your podcast and then send me and be like, listen to 10 minutes. He is so into you. And you were like, this girl, I've never felt this way before. I'm so in love. And then you subtly were like, I'm going to marry you. And your confidence and made me feel so good, but not in a like, oh, I just want him to like me. I was like, I know I really like this guy, and it's crazy that we're so on the same page. And but your confidence was so attractive with it. And then it, I'm just kind of person where it's like, I'm not afraid to take risks or to be not that we're even impulsive, because quarantine time is times three, so we're together too long.
Because it's kind of it's a rule break, really, isn't it? This sense of like coming on strong with talk of marriage. And even though we were kind of joking, like there was no stage in that early. Was there any point in that early stage of me being quite confident about that, that you were like, whoa, this guy needs to back off, or he's love bombing me?
My two biggest fears with you were, A, that, like, you had a side of you that I didn't see, like, maybe, like...
Which I do, but you just haven't seen it
yet. But, like, I was just afraid you'd have, like, a really angry side that, like... But, like, for no reason getting... you've done that before. You've gotten mad at random things. But, no, you don't have this, like, crazy angry side. You don't... Like, we've gone through a lot of traumatic things together in the short time we've been together, and I feel like I've loved the way you've responded to all that. But also, furthermore,
can you be yourself in this podcast?
I've never said
you're just like you're up syllable usage by 30%.
But well, yeah, because normally I can't even form a sentence when I'm not in front of a microphone. I'm just like, wah, wah, give me food. But I do think that I was worried, because I have a weird anxiety fear that I can't be myself around certain people, like just my own anxiety, because I've been in relationships where I didn't feel good about myself. So with you, I had to wait off that to get off of me of like, but that just comes with someone making you feel comfortable. So I just wanted to wait to make sure that like I really felt like myself around you, and that doesn't happen in like 3 weeks.
No, but normally people don't meet, separate for 7 weeks, and then essentially within 2 weeks move in.
I mean,
with each other.
I was worried, no offense, but like as someone who's dated a lot of addicts, I was worried that you just got a taste of me and then were like addicted to me because I had was taken away, and it was just this like obsession that was going to end once we were together every day.
Right. Well, I mean, you could have just said that, you know, a lot of humans are like that. You didn't have to like throw an addiction stigma on it.
I apologize.
It's totally fine.
But was it accurate?
Yeah. You say that like you're some fucking just mentally all put together person. Like what?
I'm addicted to dating addicts. Wait, can you answer the question though? Now I'm worried,
babe. You ever hear the word anonymous? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But do you understand how I might be worried for that? Because, like...
Well, I mean, I can understand how you might be worried for that, but that's your shit.
Yeah.
You know?
There is that joke where you get at the altar and you're like, we do like me.
But the only thing...
Because you were really pursuing me hard in the beginning and you were so fucking romantic. And then things changed to being more just like, you're my like, partner and you're my person at home.
But that's the same for everybody, though. I mean, like, we haven't gotten that lazy, but, like,
no.
That intense beginning phase never lasts.
Yeah, but I think it's like putting water on a plant all the time. You can't just expect a plant to keep growing, but we've done a good job, I think, of it's just our romance has changed in a way where it's less, like, new fun shit and more. I mean, we had... Our, like, big romance was, like, let's play a volleyball tournament on a Saturday against 15-year-olds and see if we could win. Yeah, like, we were always weird about it.
No, we were having fun. I mean, listen, but what you just mentioned is one of the reasons why I knew it was going to work out between us, because I knew we were going to have all these extra interests, because everybody knows in a relationship that it's all that type of stuff that's more consistent than, you know, the intense passion for each other. You know, like the things that keep you together aren't like the intensity of emotion that we felt early on. That just naturally levels off.
Like, you shouldn't decide to spend the rest of your life with someone because the sex feels good, okay?
We had a good sexual chemistry from the start.
We definitely
did. But for the record, some of, like, my most intense sexual connections have been the most toxic connections of my life. There's no reason to think that a good sexual connection means that you're meant for each other. It just means that you have a good sexual connection.
Yeah, some I was reading a meme on Instagram that was saying, like, some people can't get over toxic or think the toxic sex is so good because after it, you don't know when you're going to get it again and stuff like that. Like, there's all these reasons why toxic sex feels nice. But, like, I could be toxic, babe.
At what stage did you really think that a proposal might be coming?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you were being super weird about going to the city. but
I wasn't even being that weird about it. I mean, I felt like you knew, but I just wasn't going to say it.
I knew you were going to the city to get a ring. But I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to wait till Summer House season was done airing because it's a very like intense, crazy time where I'm not necessarily in my most calm headspace all the time because I'm reliving like drama from 7 months ago and then having to talk about it all over again. It kind of sucks. But I think it was a blessing that you did it during the airing and craziness.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like was pondering delaying it because, you know, whatever.
Because I was crying.
Because
I kept randomly crying.
Yeah. And like your moods were like all over the place. It was like, Summer House is like, yeah. Anyway, I won't say anything that's going to get me in trouble. But, you know, there was that. The Summer House became a presence in our life that was like a little stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ponder maybe, you know, waiting to make sure that I wanted to be with a reality TV show person.
Okay, that hurts.
Oh, come on. I'm joking. But no.
I mean, if you want to know the truth, it's hard. Like, women, we're just so special and we have this like sixth sense, but I knew something was up. Also, you did not shut up about how much you hated Valentine's Day to the point that I was like, okay, if you hate me, if it's about me and how much you hate me, but I knew you didn't hate me, but every day you were just like, Valentine's Day sucks, right? Let's not do anything.
There was a double reason for that. Number one, I knew I had a plan that possibly I might propose on that day. Mm-hmm. But number two, I also didn't want to get into making plans.
Did you run your plan by anyone?
Nobody.
Was that weird? Like, I feel like whenever I even choose like a nail polish, I have to ask like, 4 people.
Well, that's the difference between me and you.
I think things through.
I just was confident in my plan. I didn't want anybody else's feedback. I was confident in what I was doing. I mean, this wasn't a conscious decision, but I probably didn't want anybody to tell me to back off. I mean, I told Nikki, I told a few people that mm-hmm. I was thinking about doing it. I actually called Nikki when I was on my way in to get the ring just to say, like, I'm getting a ring.
Do you feel
I didn't tell anybody I was going to do it on Valentine's
Day. Do you feel like it was easier for you to propose because you've done it before and you failed and you survived it?
I didn't really think about the other one that much. I really was like, you know, the only reason I brought that up at the beginning was just because you brought up like the two ways to do it. And I was like, well, yeah, I've done both. So it wasn't just a case of guessing. It was like, there's two ways that I could do this. I mean, the public part of it, very much comes from your side anyway. So, but the other one had nothing to do with this one actually. Yeah. And the decision to do it in the morning was very sort of late in the thing of like, I decided on Valentine's Day. And then I was thinking of the best way to do it. I mean, we live like a very simple life in the house by the beach. When I say simple, by the way, I don't say that we're living like frugally. I just mean that like we don't do much. So I wanted to keep it within the confines of our comfy little beach life. You know
what
I mean?
We're retired, you guys. We're just two retired old people. I'm a suburban mom now.
And I don't know. I just got it into my head that like it'd be cute to just wake up to a proposal. Like, you know, you wake up Christmas morning, you're excited about getting the gifts, you know? Mm-hmm. You wake up on Easter morning, you're excited to go.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of knew what was happening.
Well, like you mean?
So like when you were at my parents, I was in the bathroom, and if you've lived with me, you know, I like to use the bathroom with the door open. It's a weird habit of mine. I think my mom, when I was little, always peed or pooped with the door open because she wanted to make sure the kids were okay. So I just thought that's how you use the bathroom in the house. So I was like in Shelter Island, bathroom open, peeing, and my dad comes back in and he like jokes something to my mom and says like, I said no. And my mom kind of like scoffs, laughs.
Yeah. And I mean, first of all, it took me the whole time of being there in the house to get a minute with you where you weren't around your parents. So then I finally, he was going to pick up some food and I was like, I'll move the car, you know, so I could go outside with him.
You're like, this bitch loves her parents so much. It's so fucking annoying.
It's so annoying. You're rubbing it in my face.
Well, also my dad, when he wasn't around me, he was napping because he's my father.
Yeah, but like, I just couldn't. And I finally get a minute where he's out of the house and I can ask him. And instead of getting in the car, which he was meant to fucking do, he fucking runs back in.
I know. And the kitchen's right next to the bathroom. And I like, basically in my head, because we were thinking about it. I was like, oh my God, I think it happened. And then I walk in and my mom spilled like chocolate all over the floor. And normally if my mom spills something, she's like, she will shriek. Like she's very clean. And she was kind of laughing. And it just, the whole situation was weird. And I think I knew it was happening. And then you were acting super weird about Valentine's Day. And then I kind of knew.
Yeah, I think most people, I feel like a lot of people kind of know. I mean, and you were involved. We went ring shopping.
Well, yeah, this is what I have to say about just like how the media literally makes it like a guy finds the perfect ring from a cloud and just out of nowhere, you don't even know. He's just like, will you marry me? And it's like, you just knew you were meant for each other. It's like, no. Spending the rest of your life with someone is a big decision that like you talk about, you discuss. Also, you need to tell him what kind of ring you want, which took me fucking forever. I kept changing my mind. Didn't even know that he was like actively trying to do it at that time. Like I thought it was kind of a joke at first. So I think that the engagement, it was perfect in my eyes because I loved how you did it. I always, for some reason, imagined getting proposed to in bed in my head.
Really?
I did. It was always like, I just felt like I would be with someone who's kind of low key. And I mean, there's nothing more. It's like, you know when someone's singing happy birthday to you and you just like, you're like, oh, I feel like that's like how an engagement in public would be. Like everyone's clapping and you're just like, oh God, like who are you people?
I know.
You're not happy for me. You don't know me.
Yeah. And saying that you literally counted the amount of likes on the Instagram post. So I'm going to challenge you on what you just said.
Okay. Because I like being on control.
Is six people clapping worse than 100?
I'm about to fight you right now. There's a difference between being in control of the attention and being able to show a photo than like out of nowhere a guy proposing to you and everyone's staring at you when you're all emotional. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
See?
So that's good that you want. I mean, I think people put way too much emphasis on like, how did you propose? Like, that's like almost the first question. Like, how did he propose? You know, it's just like, whatever, it has to be done.
Yeah.
Sometimes people nail it. Sometimes people fuck it up. Either way, you're engaged. That's the more important part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just a story, really.
But it's funny because I didn't know you, obviously, before I knew you. I did watch you 5 years ago at the Comedy Cellar, but it sounded like you were not like even thinking about finding someone. So how did you go so quickly from being like,
well,
whose
fucking podcast do you think this is? Who the fuck gave you the right to go and ask me? Okay, no, just got, I'm kidding.
I just want to get compliments from you. Can you let a girl do her thing? But I was like, yeah, what made you think from being a bachelor to being like, I want to propose to this girl? Like, why not be like, okay, I'll date her for a while, triple check.
Whatever, we had an energy that just drove towards, you know, I just knew. I knew that you were the perfect, you know, you're a perfect woman for me. But, you know, I was going to say perfect life partner, but like that almost sounds like it's like a strategic decision. Like, you know what? I think she'd be handy now on a winter's day when you're bored.
You know that you'll get good tennis lessons. I'm a pretty great volleyball partner.
Yeah, I just knew that we complimented each other in ways that went well beyond the usual confines of romance.
Low average at hand jobs.
Hannah,
what?
You have to lower the bar every time. It's unbelievable. I was in the middle of a moment there, and you had to ruin it with a blowjob.
I wasn't listening. I apologize.
Exactly.
I wasn't listening to what you were saying. I'm probably going to re-listen to this and be like, oh, that was funny. I wish I had listened to that when he said it.
Yeah, you compliment each other. Plus, I'll be honest, even yesterday when we were doing these interviews together, you know, it was
I was laughing so hard.
No, but it was like, it's fun to be able to do that with somebody. I never thought that that would be a thing that I'd be into, you know, and maybe it'll be a problem. You know, years ago, there was a British morning or afternoon show host. They were married, Judy, I think it was Richard and Judy. But, you know, it was cool that they worked together, but I always used to think like, fuck, it must be stressful. Like you're working together, then you're going home. But at the same time, and I'm sure that would be a stress and I'm not pitching us, but I did think it's fun to be able to do that and make fun of each other and have a laugh.
Well, you said like you've never messed around with comedians because you were afraid of all the stigma that goes around it and, you know, don't.
No. It's more just like, honestly, truth, since we're having all these, you know, like honest moments, like just so many fucking messy finishes ups, you know, like hookups where somebody's not happy with how it went, you know, like where, you know, the communication wasn't clear in terms of who expected what.
Comedians have big egos.
Both sides, by the way. I'm not saying me or the person. I'm just saying like there's just so many complications that come from sexual interactions that I just didn't want to bring any of that into my job. I didn't want to be sitting at the Comedy Cellar and or International Comedy Club Dublin and like have somebody walking in and feeling like I had to leave or feeling like I had to watch what I said or having other comedians gossiping about me. It was all really just really practical stuff.
Yeah.
And then in more recent times also just a lens being on the dysfunction of the entertainment industry, it was even more of a reason of like, yeah, like let's just it's workplace issues, blah blah blah. So I just wasn't something that I was really into exploring. But
the thing is I love funny people with a great sense of humor more than anything. So it's like you gravitate towards comics because they're so funny, but there are also not compatible parts of it. But when I met you, I didn't immediately get that like he's a comic vibe. You were very just yourself and really unique, but also happened to just have the same sense of humor as me while also having all these like other interests that have nothing to do with comedy. So it didn't feel like I was even on a date with a comic. Where I've been on dates with comics where you're like, okay, this
enough with the fucking complaining about some other female comic that doesn't deserve the success that she
got. Oh my God.
Right?
100%.
Hello?
And then you're like, do I heckle this guy? Like, what's he doing on this date?
Yeah, you bring up the fact that it's not because he's a white guy that he's not successful. It's because he's not fucking funny.
Oh my God. And then they also just like, they love to trash like my tweets and my memes and like being on reality TV. And I'm like, bro, I can pay my rent. So I don't know what you're worried about.
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, bitch, been there, done that. Let me know when you realize fame is a curse. Get back to me.
Oh, yeah, I realized that about 3 weeks ago. Well, what I also liked about
we're looking forward to being like semi well known for life.
I have a lot of very strong, outgoing. I hate even saying strong, outgoing women because you wouldn't say that about men. But just really successful female friends, and I go, guys, I was in the hot tub with him, and he was like, you can do whatever you want, make that money, and I just want to stay back, play golf, take care of the kids. And they all, their panties all dropped. They were like, where did you find him and how? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I just want someone that like wants me to shine. And like, that seems like it's pretty simple. And someone that I also know is motivated with their own stuff.
Yeah, in reality, once you're back on stage, all I'm going to do is stand back like your dad when you were playing tennis and criticize everything you fucking do. Just so you know.
Wow, that was dark. Didn't have to bring my dad into
this. What do you think? You're with an older guy. You're literally going to be like, why did I marry this guy? He stands at the back of the room taking notes, and then we drive home, and he's
what I think love is. That's what I was raised on. Like, literally, I had Des come watch me play tennis with this other professional tennis player, and I didn't really want to play with her unless he was there. Well, I didn't want to play, but, like, him being there meant so much to me, and I kept looking up, and whenever he was like on his phone, I'd be like, god damn it. And I'm like, okay, you're treating him like your father watching you. Like, even just criticizing me, it makes me feel seen. So you know what, I'm ready, let's do it. And I think that you're gonna help me become a lot better of a stand-up, so that's just a plus.
I have already noticed, because that's one thing about being in the same industry, mm-hmm. is like I have already noticed myself being like, I would have done that differently. And I've expressed one or two of them to you. But
yes. But also, we are different. We're not the same style of comics.
No. Certainly we're not the same style of comics. And also, I think that you're a little bit more comfortable with the, you know, the chaos of like strong opinions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas I have I have become less and less comfortable with being in the middle.
Well, I also think I have my reality TV side and my comedy side to me, where the reality TV side is like being open, vulnerable, messy, whatever I need to like say to get people excited, revved up into it, where the comedy is more of like an art to me, where I enjoy the writing process.
Yeah, and we haven't been in that.
No, so I'm just being a messy bitch right now.
So here's the one thing that surprised me with the engagement. I really was only thinking about the engagement. As I said, when we were doing interviews yesterday, because I decided I was going to wake you up with it, it was very strange because I was just like up in my morning routine, sort of like waiting for our usual 9:30 kind of Hannah wake up time. And it was kind of weird, to the point where when I finally finished up my little song and I was about to go in and propose to you, I actually fucking forgot the ring, like in the sense of like, I was like, okay, here we go. And then I was like, oh, fuck.
Were you nervous?
I wasn't nervous until right when it was kind of happening. And then I was actually like doubting myself. I was like, are we really doing this right now? Like, is this...
You got cold feet right before the engagement?
Not cold feet not cold feet about getting engaged. Just cold feet about like doing it this way. You know,
oh.
it was just like, is this it?
This is how
yeah. Like
it?
You know, when you get to the high diving board and you're kind of like you're up there and then you're like, oh shit, it's pretty fucking high. So and then you go and it's like the most exhilarating thing in the world. So it all just was kind of like it was happening. You know, and then I did it. You know, literally there's a little bit of the. Have you ever dove off a 10-meter platform? Have you?
Oh, no, I missed that one.
Yeah, so at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, you used to always go to the Commonwealth Pool. And, you know, you look up at the 10-meter platform, and it's, like, it's super high, but you think, like, wow, that'll be cool. And then you get up there, and you stand on the edge of it, and you're like, fuck me, this is high. It's very hard to jump off. And there is, like, a moment where you're like, I just got to do it, just got to do it. And then you do it, and you're like, yeah! But, it was almost like, you know, I made you rewatch the video, and then I'm there, and I'm like, it's fucking happening. Like,
well, yeah,
like,
it wasn't the smoothest in that I woke up to hearing you sing,
yeah,
because you were trying to come up with like the ad lib.
Yeah, but that part, you know what? I don't care. You know, like that part's just funny. Like,
but
every,
I'm saying, then you texted me, and I watched it, and I kind of was like, I think this is a proposal. And then you were like, wait, watch it again, because you were in the bathroom, you didn't know I was awake.
I know.
But also, you were kind of sneaky with it. I joked on Call Her Daddy. You were down on two knees, and Alex Cooper was like, "That's our thing. Let us at least have one thing."
Oh, girls on their knees, looking.
You were on both your knees, and you. I was kind of looking to see if you had a ring, and I couldn't see anything. And you kind of pulled it out of nowhere, so there still was a little surprise factor. But
honestly, God, I've such a bad groin strain. I don't even know what I've been able to do. Fucking one knee.
Were you surprised by my reaction?
Well, that was the thing. I was surprised by it. Mainly because I sort of didn't think of anything other than I'm doing the proposal. And I mean, I was confident that the response was going to be fine. We'd prepped quite a lot of it together. So it wasn't like I was worried about what you were going to say, but I just kind of like didn't really think about the reaction. I only just thought about doing it. And then, you know, I was almost in the relief zone of it's done. And then it took me by surprise that you started crying. And
then you had to call your family.
Well, no, you called your mom first. And then it was wild because I was just like a little bit relieved, actually.
Mm.
You know,
it's also wild as my mom and I talk about everything 24/7. And she's had to hide it from me for like a couple days. So she was fucking relieved. She was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, because she didn't know when I was going to do it. I didn't tell them when it was going to be. I just did the official permission asking,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, pretty nonsensical these days in its own right. But, you know, you do the tradition. It's fun, you know? It's like, it's stupid.
My dad was like, take her, please.
Yeah, you know, but I wasn't going to not do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's cool because everything's been quite fast, but it doesn't feel fast to them, which is
well,
cool.
I think it's also fast, and I hate to bring it up, but it's like, there's been a lot of my parents and there's an emptiness where like,
Were you trying to speak of my grief? That's my fucking topic. Did you just suddenly realize, oh my God, I'm speaking of his grief. Why are you bringing my fucking dead parents into our engagement?
I didn't mean to say you're an addict with dead parents.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't mean to repeat it just now. No, but I think that our process was faster because like there was less like schmoozing with your parents and getting in with them and having that time. And I mean, I know your siblings and that was great. And I think especially your siblings that are in the U.S.
My sibling
in the, like, we've gotten very close to them, and they really feel like
my aunt.
And your aunt Mary is hysterical and the best. But yeah, there is that weirdness that, you know, yeah. Stop not saying anything, and then I'm trailing.
Well, because you're trailing off there. Trailing. What do you want me to do? I can't. I don't want to speak over you.
I thought you were like, I can't bring the back.
I wasn't really feeling that much. I'm very sort of, I'm content with the, I'm comfortable with the grief. But I will say that I personally think that the emptiness will come when we get married. I didn't feel it that much with the engagement, you know, because like, you have to remember, I spent a lot of my life away from my parents. So getting engaged felt like something that would naturally happen without their presence anyway.
Yeah.
I do feel, though, that I will feel there will be just a touch of sadness that I was such a slowpoke and did this so late that my parents aren't there. On the flip side, it will not overshadow the happiness that because I was such a slowpoke, we're together.
Oh, you know? When you were younger, so the procrastinator
finds a bit of joy in putting things off.
Did you think you were going to be a slowpoke, like when you were early 20s? Did you anticipate that for yourself?
No, babe. I don't want to keep bringing it up, but I did this already. Okay, so.
Wow, that was hurtful.
No, just see, I'm
bored. I've done it. Boring.
No. But there's a. You know, it's funny. There was a time where it felt like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. And then it didn't happen. And then, you know, by the time I was in my mid-30s, I was like, holy shit, like, I'm going to be late to the game big time, you know? And like, even in my early 40s, I was like, wow, I'm that guy. Like, I'm my Uncle Kev, you know? My Uncle Kev died at 49, but he never got married, you know what I mean? Like I was just surprised I was that guy. I never thought I'd be that guy, but I was just surprised. I was like, wow, I'm the guy. I'm late to the party.
Well, I think it's so funny how you've lived for so long, because you're old, and you were getting these feelings that were, like, confusing to you in the beginning, where you were, like, Googling it, and you're like, what is love?
Babe, I'll do the talking for my feelings. I was sort of semi doing that for the podcast. But anyway, keep going.
It's interesting how, like, a certain person can change your vulnerability and, like, your intimacy, because I felt that with you, where, like, I do know that I've been pretty emotionally closed off for a while. My dad's number one rule with dating was don't let guys distract you. Like, that's, like, literally my mindset when it came to dating. Like, the second they were annoying me a little, I felt like I was stressed, or I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this. And I think people might have thought that I was too harsh on some guys, or, like, I would stop talking to people way too early. But I really knew deep down that with the right person, it wouldn't feel so difficult or annoy me the way it was.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's the right time in your life. There's just so many factors.
Yeah.
You know? Let me get to one more thing before we finish up, because we're coming to the end of our journey. So you did get into planning a wedding pretty quick. That was the other thing that took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting, in all
I
our chats,
planning it before you proposed.
Yeah, you actually did.
Front of you.
Yeah.
I was asking you about the guest list and you got kind of pissed.
Yeah, because I was just kind of like, we're just not doing the fucking wedding invite list before we get engaged. I don't know. It just felt, you know.
I was just being logical.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, I thought nothing of weddings, actually. I just was like, let's get engaged. I would have been quite happy to get engaged and then the following weekend just go to the courthouse and get married. I did, like, and that is definitely one thing about your parents being dead, is actually you don't give a fuck about the wedding as much. And that's not because I don't want to have a wedding, me and you, but just part of having a public wedding it's about family, and it just didn't feel as important to me. Getting married to you felt important, but having, like, a big wedding, but that's not to say I didn't want to have one, but it just, like, it wasn't like a big thought in my mind. Mm.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So you, on the other hand, went hell for leather.
What'd I do?
Hell for leather?
What the hell is that?
I don't know. It's an expression. You never heard that expression before?
Leather of hell?
I don't know. It's just an expression.
I feel like I never thought of what I wanted for a wedding, similar with the ring. So I just felt really behind from all the other girls who had like Pinterest pages from when they got out of the womb. So I basically was just looking like, what does planning a wedding entail? And then my mom is newly retired and we're both very highly competent type A workaholic people. It might not look like that in Summer House, but believe me, guys, it's all a lie.
These are Irish people. They're not watching Summer House.
Okay, good. I just wanted to defend myself. So we were just like, ooh, new project. Like, I love new creative projects. And to me, it was fun to be like, what is this kind of fun, you know, picnic barbecue on the wall? Like, we don't know. We'll see. So it's been exciting. But then it's funny.
My favorite moment so far has been. You send me like an initial list. We're trying to keep the number like below 60, I feel.
Yeah.
And you send me this initial list and you're like, whatever, let's just say you were like, so I'm 36 and you're 24. And I was like, fucking wait a minute. Like, how am I down so many based on your list? No consultation with me. And you were like, well, I have two parents and three grandparents. So you're five down before we start. That's some cold shit. But then I was like, yeah, God, this is annoying.
And then like my like cousin, whatever. It's just, we started.
No, but then it was just so funny because you were like, and then I have my cousins. And I was like, no, I'm not inviting my cousins. Well, in this initial thought, it was like, no, I'm not inviting my cousins because I have 14 of them, you know? And you were like, yeah, but I have five. And I was like, yeah, exactly. They're not coming. Like, you just weren't
but
getting the number.
Were,
it's like you have more parents than me. I have more.
But your
cousins
add up to 24 with all their husbands and wives, and my cousins are young, like they're 20 years old.
There is some guest list stress that comes. You know, a lot of the cliche, a lot of the things you hear people complain about that you think aren't going to be relevant to you, they immediately pop up.
Well,
because first of all, can I just say, everybody thinks they're getting invited. That's one thing I've learned about getting engaged.
Yeah,
is like. Everybody thinks they're coming.
Everyone does.
And then you're like, oh, shit, I thought we were just not going to invite people. I didn't realize we were going to be disappointing.
And you also don't realize how many people are like in a clique where you want to invite someone and you realize if you invite this person, you have to invite these other people, irregardless of how close you are with them.
Yeah, I know. And there's just so much politics. And like, so you think like, well, you know, not because I don't like some of my cousins, but just like, there's just going to be too many people. Can I not invite some of my cousins? And then it's like, are you basically saying that you don't want to have a relationship with these cousins for the rest of your life? Like, I feel like with some groups of friends, you can just be like, I couldn't invite everybody. But like with family, you can't do that. So then you're just like, fuck.
But also, it's just- now our wedding, I feel like people are excited about because like, we've been kind of public with it. So I feel like some people want to come because I think it's going to be cool, which I'm not aiming for cool. I just want to be like intimate with my
closest
friends and family.
Yeah, we
want to
have a fun, small wedding.
However, we started with 60 and then I'm like, I really want this person to come. Oh, I want that person. Next thing you know, you're at 140.
Oh, when did it get to 140?
No, we're at like 110 right now. We're at 110, but like, yeah.
No, but I agree. And it's funny because you just want to have a fun time. And then people are like, oh, you have to invite this person. You have to invite this person. It's like, holy shit. Like,
also, I have my parents' friends.
That's a funny one because
And then their friends' children are my age.
Yeah, but it's like, your parents are like, well, we want some of our friends to come. It's like, well, Des's parents can't bring their friends because they're fucking dead. So back off. Back off.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's like, you think Des is going to be happy to lose some of his 50% numbers because you guys want to bring your friends when his dead parents can't bring their dead friends?
I shouldn't have brought it up.
Damn it. No. But I'm joking about that only because it's fascinating how quickly it gets petty in your mind. Yeah, I mean, it's complicated because what ends up happening is there's more people at the wedding that like aren't in your immediate circle.
But I've always known I'm not doing bridesmaids because I have a very kind of small circle of girlfriends, and a lot of them are from different parts of my life, whether it's like from college or from early moving to New York City, and they're not even close to each other. I'm not one of those girls who's like always had the same, you know, 10 girlfriends from kindergarten, because I've been to 3 different high schools and 2 different middle schools. Like, I was always bopping around. So I always knew that I wasn't going to have. And also, I feel like so often, like, the person you liked last year, now you, like, don't talk to the next year. So I just never wanted to put that.
Stop talking about Paige, Hannah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Hannah's still friendly with Paige. That was a joke. That was a summer house joke. Everyone relax. That was a joke. Paige knows I'm joking. Well, I mean, I'm glad that you said you didn't want to do that, because I'm delighted not to do that. I mean, I could have just picked my 2 brothers, no drama. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, it's just great not to have to worry about that, because it's just a quick ceremony and then let's just get to party.
It does feel like a MySpace top 8 moment. MySpace, if people don't, do people know what MySpace is in Ireland?
Babe, my followers definitely know what MySpace is. Okay. They're concerned about how you know.
You know how you guys had to do like the top 8 friends? Like, that's how I feel what the bridesmaids thing is. And I think that's even more friggin' drama. And not only then do you get them, but you then have to make them like your maids and they do everything for you. And I just think there's a weird...
Yeah, well, we're just not into any... Like, the great thing is that we're both very anti-wedding.
And anyone who's done it and made it work, good for you. I personally don't think I can handle it. It just is stuff I have to do.
It's each to their own. Yeah. People like the bridesmaids' dresses. They like the whole thing. I mean you
if
went
I threw
into a
bridal
shop,
shower,
you
I went into a money, shop. Yes.
But. Yeah, you went into a shop, threw on a dress, you're like, yeah, perfect, and like, you're done. You know what I mean? Like,
it was amazing.
Yeah, it's like, for some people, the pomp, the whole ceremony of it is what they get a kick out of, and I do not judge that. I think it's great. Like, I love watching the New York Mets every night during the summer. Some people think that's the most boring thing in the world. Whatever you're into, simple as that. I'm just glad that we happen to be kindred spirits in the, we just want the people we're closest to be around, and we want to have a fucking party.
I think that we're a kindred spirits in general, baby.
Yes, and it's great. And you know, it's funny, that's the other thing about dating comics, as we pull into your parents' driveway, back in the spot where I asked your father if he was okay with me asking you to be my wife. The other great thing about comics is that we both have that natural cynicism, the sarcasm, the just not... you know, not always taking things so seriously, which I think adds to the ability to be able to just put a middle finger up to some of the stuff we're not into around weddings.
I also think we are so used to getting and wanting attention every single day that, like, some people, their wedding day is their one time to, like, get attention and celebrate themselves, where we are huge, big-headed egos celebrating ourselves every day and forcing our voices in people's heads. So I think we're kind of like, you know what, we don't need the forced attention on our wedding day.
Yeah, the reality is all we really care about is like the speeches.
Yeah, the speech is gonna be fire.
All right, well, listen, we've arrived. We could keep chatting. You know, workshop wise we didn't kill it, but you know, we had a good chat about it.
I thought that was pretty good. I don't think you have to be cynical about everything.
No. I think we had like a real chat about what we're going through, but yeah. I didn't feel like we found any like bits just yet.
No, not yet. But we're working on it. You can't force it.
You can't force it 100%. I guess part of it is...
just like sex.
I guess part of it is, well, you know, I've forced it.
Ew.
We've all forced it in our lives. Not in the mood, but you have to fucking do it.
I thought you meant force it on someone. I was
oh,
like, okay.
God, sorry. No. Sorry, misunderstanding. Misunderstanding. Now, there's a clip that could be taken out of context. So.
We've all forced it.
What I kind of meant was like forced myself into doing it when I wasn't in the mood.
Not with me.
No, not with you. No, I, in all seriousness, I actually think that that's a sign of a good relationship is if you're willing to, like, if the other person's in the mood and you're really not, that you'll force yourself to do it. Not always, but sometimes you have to do that. You can't always be like, I'm not in the mood. Sometimes you have to take one for the team. And I think more often than not, you get in the mood by doing it, you know, but it doesn't always have to be like, we're both in the mood at the right time. You have to be willing to, you know.
You're going to do a conclusion?
I do it on your own. I do all that on my own. I do a little intro and outros, okay. You know? So thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hannah, where can we find you?
Summer House on Bravo, or I think Hiyu in Ireland.
Well, probably Now TV, I think.
Now TV at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then Bravo's chat room is...
No, I mean, on Now TV, who knows when it's on, but...
Oh. Bravo's chat room is my talk show on Bravo at Sundays at 10-ish.
Again, what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Being Burns, BeingBernz, and listen to my...
And
listen to my podcast, Burning in Hell.
Burning in Hell, BERNING. It's great guest this week, Kelsey Cook. Some amazing interviews on Burning in Hell. You really should check it out. Hannah Berner, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being my guest today on the Des Bishop Podcast. So thanks very much, guys. Hope you enjoyed the ep. We're back to my calm Shelter Island energy as the sun has peeped out even further. The arc has grown. We didn't talk about Harry and Meghan, I know, but that's just been talked about a lot. I talked about a lot on my Patreon. Don't forget to subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/DesBishop. We chat every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This week we did Wednesday, Thursday, and tomorrow because we took a little social media break, Hannah and I, to enjoy being public about the engagement. So I'll be back tomorrow morning on the Patreon. Probably going to have a moan about Trump sort of slowly raising his head again. But anyway, we won't get into that. No other news, really. At Des Bishop on Instagram. Don't forget to message me. Don't forget to leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars. Let people know on Spotify. To all our new listeners, welcome. Welcome to the pod. I recommend going right back into the back catalog. There is some super funny chats with loads of awesome comics. Really wide variety of conversations. We've got amazing conversation with Irish comedian Aisling B. Tommy Tiernan. Some Kevin Bridges, probably the funniest one on the pod. First episode with Jason Byrne, incredibly funny. John Bishop, my namesake. So many good conversations. Sarah Kendall, awesome. Aussie comic living in the UK. You really should check some of them out. More recently, really interesting conversation about growing up poor in the south side of Chicago with Jeanette. You should check that out. And there's just a lot. You know, it really is a fucking ton of really awesome episodes. So go back in the back catalog if you have not done so. The majority of those don't require, you know, anything current. They're timeless conversations about life. Huge gaps in time. Nearly a year and a half with no episodes. But here we are. We're still going. Yeah, there's a long period of time where it was just apology after apology for me not keeping it up. But these days, we're not doing too bad. It's one of the things the pandemic has brought back to us. So, yeah, I'm really waffling now. You know, truth be told, I really like sitting here and recording this beautiful place. I'm next to the bay. I'm next to Peconic Bay, looking across the bay at Greenport, Long Island. And it's a gorgeous day. You just can't beat it. You can't beat that late winter sense of hope. And I don't want to repeat the symbolism of the beginning of the episode, but it does feel like the spring is coming. And this tidal check on the evolution of humanity, this prescribed year of solitude, contemplation, nearly at an end. I hope you've all grown from it. God knows it's changed my life. And we'll continue to monitor that change week by week. conversation by conversation, we will continue to just leave our little piece of understanding in the podcast sphere and hope that it entertains you, enlightens you, comforts you, and helps you to make sense of whatever it is that you need to make sense of. This has been the Des Bishop Podcast, and we will be back next week. And yes, I almost did that perfectly, but there was a bit of a mumble on that last sentence. But I'm not editing it. Good luck. Salam. Zaijian. Hasta luego.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.